Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. It is our May edition of PMC Live. I'm your host, Angela Denning. PMC Live happens the first Thursday of every month when KFSK checks in with leadership at the Petersburg Medical Center to see what's going on. Today, I'm joined in the studio by CEO Phil Hofstetter, Kathy Reamer, who is PMC board member and foundation board member as well, Julie Walker, community wellness coordinator, and we have lab manager Violet, and I'm going to ask you how to pronounce your last name. Okay, how do you pronounce your name?
Oh, Shimmick.
Shimmick. Okay, yeah. Great. So lots of people here, lots of things to talk about. I'll try to keep us moving along. First, if it's okay, I'd just like to get a general update from the CEO. There's a couple questions I have for you, too, but what do you want to share with us first?
Well, first thing is our community needs assessment, which we are required to do every 3 years, is we collected information last summer, and Julie was helping lead that initiative, and we have it a document that is publicly available on our website. I call it a final draft, so we're still collecting some edits on that. So we have limited copies we've handed out, and we're excited about having that complete, though.
Okay. Anything you wanted to add, Julie, about the community health assessment?
I mean, a couple bullet points of some of the outcomes.
Sure.
Sure. I mean, some of the things that we found were a lot of people are taking advantage of our new and expanded services since the last time we did it. So we asked what services people utilize at PMC, and a lot of them were using home health services, our audiology, and our behavioral health services, which were all new or expanded since the last time we did the community health assessment. And then the other thing was a very overwhelming strong support for PMC remaining as a rural community hospital. So we have kind of a little graph in there about that. It was really interesting.
Okay. Yeah, we did hear some about that during the meeting with Search, too, not that long ago. I wanted to ask you, Phil, about funding. KFSK just noticed not that long ago that there was possible funding in the state budget, capital budget.
Yeah.
Not a little bit of money, but like $20 million
possible.
The local hospital. What do you think about that?
I think it's great. We're crossing our fingers. I'm just holding my breath a little bit until it goes through to the governor's signature. So, yeah, it's exciting. Certainly having federal support and then state support is the dream and the goal, and certainly can get us to sort of the next phase. And then from there, we're just building that stacking capital. So that's really great.
Okay. Yeah. Now, just kind of looking at it with the little information that I have, it's not like coming out of the state budget, right? You mentioned federal. Is this kind of pass-through money for the pandemic, coronavirus?
You mean the source? I'm not 100% certain.
Okay.
We are having, I will be asking some questions. I'll probably ask some more questions once it's final. I'm just being a little more guarded until we're, you know, making sure that, you know, it's actually a true. My guess is that there's still some funding with either infrastructure or COVID funding that was there that's remaining. I know there was some funding available for that. But I'm not 100% certain, and I'll probably have an opportunity to ask those questions. We're having a visit from the commissioner scheduled here in May 25th and providing a facility tour. And we're also, I believe Dr. Zink will be here for that as well. So we're sort of excited to have some of our state representatives here to visit Petersburg. I know he tried a couple of times to be available and always had something going on, or a COVID hit, or there was a weather issue. So I know that's something we'll be talking about.
Okay. Yeah. The reason why I asked, I mean, I know line items have been vetoed by this governor. So I was wondering where the source of the funding would be, you know, coming from, but I'm sure all of that will be learned in the future.
Yeah. I'm being a little superstitious. I'll just wait until I see what happens and we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Who would like to speak next? Because there's so many things to go over. You want to talk about the blood draws and the health fair? How about that? That's happening right now. I know because I got my blood drawn this morning, and you know my personal experience. It went fast. It was just, you know, walk. I mean, I think I was there probably 10 minutes. It was really fast. So, Violet, you are the lab manager. I can only imagine that things are quite busy.
They really are, and they start really early for a lot of us. We've been really preparing for this community health fair since I think January was when we started trying to plan out, get to understand with our new EMR what the workflows needed to be, because it touches so many different departments. The number of meetings we've had, I have no idea. Maybe Julie knows, but I've lost count. So we started really early planning, working on getting the supplies, and that has been the other huge challenge. There's been some the blood tube shortages. So since probably February, I've been on phones with our manufacturers and stuff trying to get enough tubes in to meet the needs of not only the community, but also what our usual needs are for ERs and inpatients and things like that. So we've been doing that. And then shortly, I think maybe a month prior to all of this, we've been asking for phlebotomy volunteers. And so our EMS volunteers have really been hugely helpful in making sure we have enough people to draw everyone for all these weeks. It's super early, so it's been a huge relief to have that kind of help, because lab's already starting at 6:30 every morning. Our phlebotomy volunteers are there at 6:45, so we all are just kind of hitting the ground running.
It makes sense about the supplies issue. It seems like that's just across the board with almost everything, and then planning for this huge event, things are might be delayed, but do you think you'll have enough for the numbers of people you have signed up?
Yeah. I've been kind of harassing our vendors to at least send us what they can. And so I think we're pretty much good to go. We're still a few openings left. I think we're filling up pretty quick. So if anyone hasn't signed up for their blood draw yet, now would be the time.
That's a good thing to mention. Because what is the last date for blood draws?
It'll be on the 19th.
Of May.
Yep.
Okay, May 19th. And then that's Tuesday mornings, Wednesday mornings, Thursday mornings?
Yep.
The time, several slots, and you can actually pick your slot when you go online. PMCAK, I noticed, it shows you, and you can just choose your 15 minutes, if it's open, that is.
Yeah, and Julie did a lot with some of our other people to kind of get that online scheduler up and running. So huge thank you to Julie for all
there's,
that.
There's probably 30 or so spots left for the last week of the health fair. So we have 2 weeks left, and they're filling up fast. So next week is almost full. And then the following week, there's 30 or so left.
Violet, what can you tell us about what happens behind the scenes in the lab with all of this blood coming in? One thing I've heard this year is how quickly the results are coming back. Literally, I think you're told, within 48 hours, you'll have the results on patient portal. But I've heard from some people it might be like 7 hours or just like within hour, less than a day.
Yeah, and we've been trying to really keep on top of it. We've been making use of our, I'm sure people have noticed a weird bucket going up and down from the blood draw station up to the lab, our COVID bucket that we started using during COVID, so we weren't having to run up and down as much. So we've been utilizing the COVID bucket. We basically have people assigned to different stations to log the specimens in, get them processed, funnel them to the different instruments. Everyone's just kind of keeping to their workflows. We'll run into something weird every now and then, and we'll troubleshoot it and try and get the results out as soon as possible, because there's not many of us in the lab, so we're trying to make sure we don't get a backlog of anything. So we just kind of plan the workflows, doing what we can to get things done.
Now this is kind of maybe a strange question, but in terms of like getting blood into the lab, and then how does that work? Is it all computerized where I could give you my blood and then a computer like reads it, and then is it the same program that looks at all of the different like diabetes, cholesterol, all that stuff? Is it just one program that like highlights the things, or is it several different processes for the different things that you're looking at? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it'll be it's several different processes. So basically we're using our hematology analyzer for that purple tube that gets collected, and our big chemistry analyzer for the yellow tubes that get collected. It's not really just the computer looking, all the text as we process things are making sure that those results actually look like they would be a normal result, because you can't just blindly trust what an instrument tells you. It doesn't know what normal should be necessarily. There's guidelines that it follows, but we always have to make sure the instrument's actually functioning properly. So each and every result that is coming through has been reviewed by at least two techs. So there's a lot of review going on. Anything that's abnormal, we've been sending to a health fair pool that the clinic then looks at. And so there's follow-up on anything that's kind of out of range. So we're really trying to make sure that, you know, it stays hands-on, everything gets looked at very closely, nothing gets missed.
Okay. And then jumping over to you, Julie, anything that you want people to know about the health fair, which in person, that whole big gym event is happening on June 4th.
Yeah, June 4th at the community gym from 10 to 1. So we're just securing all the vendors. We've got several vendors coming from out of town. We've got Southeast Alaska Independent Living. We've got some of the Medevac companies coming. We've got several local providers, behavioral health providers and healthcare. You know, PMC will have several different booths there talking about our different departments. So it's going to be a big event. And of course they can, if they've opted to pick up their, health fair blood draw results, they can do that at the health fair, or they can just do the patient portal. So if you signed up for the paper copy, that will be available there. We've got several speakers. So our Dr. Heyer and Dr. Burt will be speaking. Sounds like someone from home health might also be doing a talk. And then we have a kind of a keynote speaker coming down, Carol Sipilu, who will be, doing a talk in the community, in the auditorium. And she is a ultra runner who has a very, very powerful story to share of the journey that she's been on through her life. And we were really excited to bring her here to share that story with us.
Okay. And you mentioned a few doctors there. So people who have their results from the blood draws can get more information at the actual fair, like
right.
How to read those.
Yeah, Dr. Heyer's talk will be specifically on what those numbers mean, how to read them, you know, what to do if you're, you know, want to change those numbers, kind of things. And then Dr. Burt's talk will actually be about sodium in your diet, and ways to find alternatives to sodium to make sure you still have lots of flavor in your food, but decreasing the sodium and reasons why you might want to do that for your health.
Okay, and then the time, June 4th, is how much of the day is the fair?
It's 10 to 1, and then the talks will be scheduled. I think they're going to be on the hour. So we'll be putting out advertising with the schedule soon.
Okay, sounds good. Anything else you wanted to add about the health fair?
I think that's it for the health fair, yeah.
Okay. What about you, Violet, with the blood draws or the lab? Anything else you want to share?
No, I think that sums it up. Just a huge thank you to all the volunteers that we've had for the blood draws, because we could not do it without the volunteer EMS and other volunteers from around the hospital. It's been awesome to have.
An EMS volunteer did my blood this morning, and it was smooth. It was just like, you know, yeah. Professional.
They're doing a great job. They really are. I've seen a lot of them.
Can you pass the mic over to Kathy? It might squeak. If she wants headphones, she can use headphones. But I wanted to ask you, Kathy Reamer, about being a PMC board member and being on the foundation board as well. How many years have you been volunteering in those roles at PMC?
Well, I've been on the board. I've been elected to the board 3 times, and I'm serving the beginning of my 3rd term, about 7 years, I think. And then I just joined the foundation board as the representative from the hospital board. So I'm learning a lot about the foundation and all the great things that the foundation does for the hospital. They're separate entities, really. And the foundation is a separate 501c3 nonprofit that provides funding for the extras, like we've developed a program in our hospital to educate nurses and sort of keep our staffing above, you know, at the level that we need to stay open or to keep our staffing up. And so we help to fund scholarship. We fund the scholarships for that. Those nursing students. We also fund scholarships for high school students, people graduating from Petersburg High School. And in addition, I think something that we do that's pretty special for our local folks is we provide the funds that the families who have loved ones being medevaced out, we provide the funds for that. So if somebody is being medevaced out and say their husband or wife or mother or father or whatever has to run home and just grab a few things, they might not have enough time to get everything they need. So we always give them a little envelope with some money so they can buy essentials and stuff like that when they get to wherever they're going. So other things that come up, the people in the hospital can apply, you know, to get funds for certain things that they are needing in their program and stuff. So we're kind of we do fundraisers and we have funds available to help our community with healthcare things and also for our hospital to have to be able to provide more than just the regular hospital care that, you know, you would get any other place. I mean, we're the support crew.
Wow, thinking about that envelope of money for somebody who's, that's the last thing they're probably thinking about is, you know, it'd be so hard to think clearly if your loved one was being medevaced and you're racing around. I can imagine that that's pretty important, handing them some money just to take with them.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then to kind of segue into the paddle battle, that has been one of our fundraisers in the past, and it's been really fun. People get into there. It started with having a couple of options where you could start way, way far away and paddleboard, canoe, however you wanted to get manually motor a boat from one place to the other. And now I think we're adding something new, which is really exciting, and it's a pedal paddle. So people who might not want to, you know, look for a boat or aren't interested in kayaking might just grab their bike and go for a little pedal that day instead. So anyway, that's one of our major fundraisers, and it's one way that we can provide the extras that that we do for our community. So,
well, so it's going to be, this year will be the first year that it's on the water and on land.
Right.
You can bike or kayak or whatever, paddleboard.
Yeah, and Julie knows a lot more about it than I do, so I think I'll just pass.
I'm probably going to come back to you, Kathy, but that's okay. Yeah, so is this, when is the paddle battle scheduled for this year?
Scheduled for August 6th at 10 a.m. We'll be starting Scow Bay, and we'll have the kayakers and paddlers start at the Scow Bay there and paddle to Sandy Beach, and then we'll also have the bikers start. The time for the bikers is still to be determined, by August 6th. And then we are really looking to raise money, and so we are going to have opportunities for a really nice raffle. So for both the participants and the sponsors. So if you know, donate to it, your name can go in the hat for the prizes. And if you participate in it, your name can go in the hat. And depending on your level of donation and your level of seeking sponsorships, if you're a participant, you'll get more names in that hat. So we're working on getting some pretty cool prizes. We have one that is secured, which is a really, really nice bike. It's a fat tire bike. And Phil got that. He's a bike guy, so he knows all about it. But it's a pretty good price.
Wow, those aren't cheap.
No, I want to thank Speedway Cycles in Anchorage, we were able to get some reduced cost for a fat bike, really high end. It's a nice, it's called the Corvus model. It's a great model, very, very durable, great for riding around here all year round. I have my own, which is, I have three or four of them, and I really like them. So we were able to purchase it a little bit. We budgeted some funding for our wellness bike program, but I also pitched in my own money for it as well. So I paid half the cost just to provide a good prize to make sure that we can, get some fundraising and recoup some some costs for the good effort that the foundation is doing. So we certainly wanted to have a real attractive prize out there. Something I love to do, and I'm really grateful that we had the opportunity to get that bike. Yeah.
And if anybody has questions about Fat Tire bikes, they could probably ask you. Now might be a good time to mention that you've biked across Alaska multiple times, like 1,000 miles multiple times on a bicycle in the spring. Like basically the Iditarod Trail on a bike.
Yeah, I've used a lot of lessons on the trail to get through COVID. So it was very helpful. Yeah, when I lived in Ulm, I biked home. And so I would joke that I was too cheap to buy a plane ticket. So I would ride on my bike during the bike race. But yeah.
Someday. I'm going to interview you about the details of that, because like only a few people on the planet have actually ever done that and thought about it. You know, I mean, across Alaska.
Rightly so.
Over 1,000 miles, it takes some crazy people.
Yes, well said.
So Kathy, anything else you wanted to kind of talk about with the foundation? So basically what I'm getting is the foundation, there's like kind of savings there, but also every year you're putting money into a fund?
Right, the foundation fund. And we receive donations from people in town, and we also do a couple of fundraisers. And because of that, we've been able to provide, we have, I believe we have three nurses working, maybe five nurses, four nurses working in our hospital right now that have received scholarships from the fund. So we feel like that's the kind of thing that's really worthwhile, because it helps our local folks stay in Petersburg and continue to work in Petersburg. We know how hard it is if you have to take off and leave town, and not everyone has the money to do that or the time. And then in addition to that, we've been able to stay pretty fully staffed at a time when hospitals are just crying for nurses. So I think that's one thing that we feel really good about having the opportunity to participate in. And the hospital can't really, as a hospital board member, you know, we can't really allocate a certain amount of money for just community service, you know, and say, okay, we're going to raise money for scholarships. But as a foundation, we can do that. We can see what the needs are, and we can do fundraising for the things that we need for our hospital and for our community, so, and healthcare in our community.
If people wanted to know more about the foundation, where would they go for that?
It's on the website.
It's on the website, and sorry, Julie. It's on the website, and you can actually donate. There's a portal for donating on through the website, and you can also see all kinds of information on the foundation website about the things that we've participated with, and I say, and it's Petersburg Hospital.
It's a PMCAK.org. Yeah. Okay. And so just like Kathy was saying, all the information is on there. We have segues into all the different activities that we do, newsletter that we do, and including the foundation as well, and including the community needs assessment. So I encourage others to take a look at that. I would like to take the opportunity, if you don't mind, to recognize that Nurses Week starts tomorrow, so May 6th to the 12th. And it ends always on the last day of Florence Nightingale, I believe, his birthday. So, you know, and just like Kathy was saying, we have an incredible group of nurses here. And there's a long history of nursing in Petersburg. And often, you know, the foundation of the foundation, the bedrock of healthcare is from nurses. So I really want to have a strong just an acknowledgement of that, and the nursing program, many, many, many scholarships. Many staff have benefited from that are existing here, and there's some nurses that started in the CNA program or in the RN program. We have a cohort coming up this fall through the UAA, and that's hosted locally. We just have a fantastic group of nurses. We even recently have a nurse that won a pretty major award, the Daisy Award, and Angela Manish is the recipient of that. And it's just, you know, just an example of some of the stellar nurses that we have here in Petersburg.
Kathy, as a board member, I know Phil doesn't want to jinx this, but as a board member, with the $20 million that could be in the budget, it's written as a line item right now in the state's budget, $20 million for PMC. You know, what does that mean to the board if that could happen?
Well, as you know, we are seriously looking at the building of a new hospital, so it will be used, I think, in that direction. That's what we haven't even had a chance to talk about any of this yet, of course, because it's new. It's brand new. Didn't it just come out like a couple days ago something?
We just saw it yesterday.
Yeah.
In the newsroom.
So we certainly haven't had a chance to talk about it, but I believe that if something like that were to happen, it would go towards our new hospital.
So. Yeah, and it's a long process, like we say, but budgets are something that people, if they chose, they could advocate for that through, you know, legislative hearings and things like that. But $20 million, how far would that get?
Yeah, it would go a long ways in getting shovel ready, for sure. I mean, it's almost a third of the way there with the appropriations. It also builds opportunity for other types of funding. So there's other programs that are out there that, if you have federal and state support, sort of puts a certificate of approval that this is a supported program, and it provides opportunity for other types of federal and state programs to build off of that. And that's really the goal, is to, as you build out the phases of the hospital and the build, you know, so a lot of the conversation will likely take place at our work session with the borough. And so a lot of the conversation is going to happen with the board. As Kathy has mentioned, we didn't even have a chance to really discuss it. And then also with the assembly and the borough, so that we can start moving some of these things forward as we can. Looking at site selection, geotech work, environmental studies, those kinds of things that become really important. So,
okay. All right. Well, it's almost 1 o'clock. Does anybody want to add anything? Feel free to jump on. Julie?
Just that the PMC Foundation will have a table at the health fair. So if you want to know more, or you want to check out that bike or some of the other prizes, you could stop by there. You can actually buy your raffle tickets there as well. So that would be a good opportunity if you want to sign up or find out more or make a donation and get a entry into that drawing. That would be a good place to do that on June 4th.
Okay, awesome. And Phil, do you have anything to...
No, thank you so much. Look forward to everyone. There's a lot going on, and I'm really grateful to the staff here and Kathy, our board member as well, for being part of this.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This does wrap up our monthly edition of PMC Live. Thank you to our guests, Phil Hofstetter, Kathy Reamer, Julie Walker, and Violet...
Shimek.
Yeah. Violet Shimek, thank you.